And we're back live.
Yay!
And we're talking with Janet and Cassie tonight again. From
Phenomena. Yeah.
Say Phenomena Paranormal. Right?
Again.
What? Did I say it wrong? No.
Just a little.
Okay, you two, what have you been up to and what do you want to share?
What have we been up
Let's
to?
Let's see. What have we been up to? We went to the Monroe House. Did we talk to you since then?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so. It's been a while. Been a minute.
Well, you guys have been popping in every now and then watching us with other interviews.
Janet herself has been on more than once.
Yeah. Try to catch the show.
Episode where we had the panel, if I remember right.
Anyway, we'll so talk about it.
The Monroe House.
Yeah, talk about it.
Okay. So the team goes to the Monroe House in Indiana, and you can Google it. It's all over YouTube. So it was our turn. So
whereabouts in Indiana?
I don't remember.
You know, I'm an expert of Indiana now since I had to work out of Indianapolis.
No, it wasn't Monroe, Indiana. It was something like, oh, God.
I can't remember now. I can't remember what city was in. We were staying in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, we just went there to spend the
night. Yeah, Fort Wayne's not very far, is it? Or Fort Wayne's not that far over that line.
So let's see. The Monroe House. Oh, come on, big fingers.
She's going to Google it for you.
Big finger. So when you're using your finger, does it do this? Does it go, red rum, red rum?
Yours does too?
I taught my grandkids that. When they
Hartford
were...
City.
Hartford, yes.
Hartford okay. City, Indiana.
Yes.
So it's a popular haunted house that they rent out to for investigations. And we went. And we did some preliminary investigations. And then we finally got our poop together and went in. And we were going to start at the front of the house and work our way back.
Okay.
So we're on the front porch, basically, a screened-in porch. And we got the equipment out and everybody's there as a group. And we're using the spirit box and stuff. So me and another guy on the team, Eric, I look at him and go, let's go in the kitchen and do like a Estes method with them. So we go in the kitchen. And we're there and we're documenting what we're getting. And then all of a sudden I get like a snapshot in my head.
Yeah. Don't say brain.
of the blue room. Which the blue room is just named the blue room because it's blue. Blue walls. But it's like a back bedroom in the house. And in the blue room, there's a rocking chair with a kid's rubber ball in it, which we already walked around. But I got the snapshot of the blue room and I'm like, Eric, let's go in that back bedroom because I've always read the blue room is like really haunted. Mm-hmm. So I just walk in the room, go to the side of the chair against the far wall. He just steps in the doorway and I'm looking at the chair and it kind of moved forward. And then I hear Eric say, the fuck, excuse me, but that's what. And I'm like, no way. The chair slowly goes back. Then it violently flings forward. The ball goes flying. We scream, go, go, go. We start booking out of the room. My camera, $1,400 Nikon, flies off. I don't care. I'm running. That was my first experience with furniture moving. And we're booking down the hall. And Eric's a larger guy carries a weapon for work and he's screaming as good as I am. But it was like the fight or flee kicked in because, you know, this shouldn't be happening, right? So the fight or flee kicked And I grew up in Detroit. I'm used to standing my ground. It was the first time ever I've listened to Flea. I got out and we ran, we caught up with the team. They're, you know, we've already said half our team is grandmas. So they're all sitting on the floor in the front room. They're still trying to get off the floor and get up to see what's going on. And we go running in. Oh my God, the chair, move. Dude, I'm going outside to have a cigarette and do a shot. See you later. And they're like, what? And we're like, the chair moved. So we go out, we explain the story to them. Now we're getting our gumption and we're going back in the room. We go back in the room and the fucking ball's back in the chair. I shit you not. And of that's course.
That's the best part.
No videos running. None of that. Because we were doing audio shit, right? We flipped.
They were videotaping in the other room.
Right.
And they left.
We flipped that chair upside down, looking for strings, looking for buttons. We were jumping up and down on the floorboards. Nothing would have made that chair do that and the ball go flying except the paranormal. And I can't explain it.
Needless to say, we left.
Yeah, badass was the only
they
one.
They didn't
want to
stay no more.
I was over it.
I wouldn't have. So I would have stayed. I would have stayed right there and kept going.
Thank you.
Well, more power.
I'll
to
go
you.
With you next time.
And I'll tell you, I got a body camera, and I'm learning that when you go into anywhere, turn the damn thing on. Mm-hmm. Before you even step through the threshold, turn the damn thing on.
Well, I know we're ghost hunters and all that.
No,
and that's what people can't wait. Because I started to tell other people, they go, oh, the blue room, the rocking chair, I wished I could see it move. And when I
this
say
thing
dude,
too.
It moved, they get all pissed off at me. And you left. It felt very dark. That's all I could say.
Yeah,
we all
discussed it before we left, and all of us admitted that this house just had a heavy feeling that night.
And everywhere you were,
you felt like
you were
constantly, yeah, being watched, and or something was right behind you, or you know, everybody was experiencing that.
Like I
said,
we live at Eloise, and Eloise is very peaceful. I've been to the Randolph. I've done all these things, but this and the chair move, it like sent a message because we weren't in there long. It was like, get out. Bam.
So and when was the last investigation through there before you guys? Do you know?
Oh, they were ramping one after another at that time.
Yeah, it's the middle of summer.
So it was just like what hours? Days?
Probably days. Like
a couple
maybe
of
a
days,
week.
Maybe. Yeah.
A week to 3 days. I don't know.
Okay. Well, just kind of wondering. Just a thought. Maybe someone just got tired of showing up for everybody.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
And you know, got tired of everybody being there.
Right. Here's the weird thing is looking back on it, the snapshot in my head, when I look back, like there's no rhyme or reason why I looked at Eric and said, let's go do the Estes method. Let's go to the blue. It's like whatever was there, put that snapshot in my head and was pulling us further and further away from the team. That I don't like.
It was isolating.
Whatever's
you.
There has a powerful energy that I think that scares me more than the furniture moving. Is you can manipulate my thought. You know what I mean?
Possibly. It was isolating you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
That's interesting.
It was very interesting. Would I go back? Yeah, I want to now, but not right when it happened. It happened. You know what? Just because you're a ghost hunter doesn't mean you don't get scared.
No. I've gotten creeped.
No, I get it. I do. I get it.
When I lived in my haunted apartment, shit moved all the time. But I don't know if it's your shit moving and you have to live there, so you're making every excuse and blah, blah, blah. But when this happened, it was bye. I was just out.
See, I don't have to worry about anything getting inside my head.
I don't
want to go there.
Yeah. His head's empty anyway.
Crazy shit going on as it is. They wouldn't survive inside my head.
Well, don't think it can. I just, you know, it's just like the skeptics. When it happens to you, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's like when we went with Dale's Kazmarek out to Iowa.
Oh, my God.
Not for our school.
I got sick.
He got sick, and I had 5 pieces of equipment subsequently fail on me.
I had I go with stuff in the building, and about five minutes into that building, I had to leave. I had to walk out. And the minute I walked out onto the steps outside, I started feeling better.
Yep.
Wow. What school
is that? It's in Maxwell, Iowa.
Yeah, Maxwell, Iowa.
Huh.
Yeah, you know, I think part of the reason that my equipment failed is because of me, because I was drawn to the boiler room area. And I went in there, I had my body camera on, I had my regular camera with me, and I had a flashlight with me, and I had my voice recorder with me. And I walked into the boiler room area, and I felt there's a presence in there, and I started provoking it.
Well, there was definitely something in there because
Dale got on the voice box thing, yeah.
And there was many distinctive voices talking back.
Mm-hmm.
In that boiler room.
He asked a question across
that gym floor when Dale
there was a basketball that was sitting there. Joe and I were up on the second floor.
Look the basketball.
And there's this window thing sitting there that are there to where you can look out over the basketball court. And one of Dale's teammates was there, and she was standing next to me, and she looks and points down, and she goes, "Look, that ball's moving." And neither one of us had a damn camera at that time.
Right.
Just setting up.
Because we were just setting up. We were just getting everything out.
Yeah.
And sure shit, I looked down, and that ball, it was a black ball, black basketball, it was moving, and it was behind Dale. Now, Dale and Mikey, one of the people that go with him a lot, Mikey was doing a live shot of Dale on Facebook, and I was trying to get him to pan down and look at that ball. Because that would have caught it and it would have been broadcast out.
Yeah.
They always given a little bit of history of the building at that point.
But yeah, because that ball it was very, very subtle. It was a very subtle movement. Like somebody walked up and just kind of pushed it just a little bit with their hand.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's how that rocking chair was on the first one until it got mad. That's what we said, because we weren't full-fledged investigating yet.
We were just starting.
And when we were in the Memphis, Michigan, in that bar, I saw my first apparition, and we were on the freaking tour. Now, everything that happens to me is pre-investigation setup. And I'm like, are so many people going to these places that the spirits are getting hip and we're going to mess with you before it even starts the show?
Maybe. But that's why I got this now.
We got that in the body cams. That's why the body cams come in handy.
What kind did you get?
It's just a regular little clip-on body cam, and it actually shoots a night vision too. It's got, here's got little IR lights. Ooh. Joe's got ones more like a cube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would like.
And mine looks like this.
Yeah, you know, and it's got a clip on the back that rotates, so you can
put
it at any angle.
Okay. And now we got these are going, I mean, anytime we go inside anywhere, before I even walk in the door, this is like going on me, and they're being turned on.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting tired of like what happened with you guys.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of something happening and not catching it.
We got one first because of what happened at the Arts Mill in Grafton.
Yeah, the Arts Mill in Grafton, whenever we did our Halloween show, we were there on Halloween night. And my daughter was with us, and she had a blast. But she's 28 now. But Joe and Tom, he's from Off the Rails. It's a comedy podcast, and they've helped us a lot with whenever we first started getting going with this. But we were there because him and his girlfriend set up the investigation for us. So we were doing this, and then him and Tom, we were coming back up to go back upstairs, and Tom was coming down. So him and Tom decided they were going to go out and have a cigarette, and me and Kayla kept going. And then when they were going through the hallway, there's three lights hooked to the same, they're all hooked to the same circuit. And the center light, the second, the middle light, decided it wanted to flicker on and flicker off.
Just as we were walking in front of it.
As him and Tom were walking in front of it. And that's the only one out of the three that did any kind of, had any kind of thing.
Tried everything to try to recreate it to get it to do it again.
Couldn't get it to do it.
I mean, I was glad Tom was there and I wasn't by myself because, Mark would say, oh, you're nuts. You're crazy.
Just to screw with him, I'd do.
Just to screw with me. But see, Tom was there. But after that, we started discussing body cameras because, I wasn't prepared. But if I was like, doing just like you said, walking out to have a cigarette, well, that body camera would have been on from the moment we walked into the building and it would have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it would have caught the flickering.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, that was a fun. That was actually a fun night. I caught a disembodied voice, mm-hmm. and I confirmed it on three different devices.
Cool.
I got it on my audio recorder, my EVP. I got it on my camera that I had set up in the dance hall, and I got it on Joe's camera, and I was able to find it in every single piece of the footage and everything.
No, that Halloween night was an interesting night altogether. I mean,
oh, it was fun. It was really cool.
We had we were sitting in one room, and then we had the water start running.
Oh yeah, we were downstairs, and we were sitting in
the bar.
It was part of the bar area, but it was open area.
Open area, and they had
it
outside on the side of the building.
We were sitting with the other person we were with had their backs to the wall.
That was
where, right? Chris was with us. Chris Kaihouse, and him and his wife were sitting there, and they had their backs to the wall that was separating the bathroom from us. And we're sitting there, total dark, all the lights off. We're doing an EVP session, and Kayla's got Joe's camera. She's got it running. Chris has EVP going. I've got EVP going.
Everybody that was with
us. And we're all, everybody that was there, was that physically there, were in that room. And during our EVP session, all of a sudden, Chris asked a question about fire. Because one of the things was brought up about the building had caught on fire at one time.
The whole town had a major fire, and that was part of it.
Okay.
Remember, well, that's when I came across, because I was telling Chris about that when I came across, and I couldn't figure out, there was no record of when the fire department was started.
Right. So Chris said something about a fire. He asked a question about, were you caught in the fire or something? And I swear to God, and we have this on audio, All of a sudden, you can hear it. Sounds like water starts running. I heard it first. I'm like, does anybody else hear that? Sounds like water. Tom's like, yeah, I hear it. And Chris is like, oh, it's coming from behind me. So we all three, I mean, Chris got up, Tom got up, I got up. Chris was the first one in. His instincts was go to the toilet, check the toilet, you know, the back. Because sometimes the float, it'll cause running. Tom went in, but as soon as they crossed the threshold, it quit. Totally quit.
Wow.
I got up. My first instinct, go to the sink. I went straight to the sink, and I'm looking. I got my flashlight, and I'm looking, and I'm like, what the hell? And I reached down, and I did like this around the drain. There was fresh, cold water right out of the tap right there on that drain. And nobody – and this is the best part. There wasn't a single one of us that used that bathroom prior to that.
Yeah.
Wow. No, not that whole night.
After that incident, then my daughter used that bathroom. But not one of us was in that bathroom at all up until after that incident.
That's also the same room that when we left, we swear all the lights were off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We didn't have any of the lights on down there.
And all the lights were back on.
And when they came downstairs to go in there, freaking lights were on.
Yes,
they weren't hooked up to a timer
in order to turn them on. You had to flip the switch.
There was no timer. There was no no motion sensors to turn the lights on, so and nobody entered the building because it was completely locked.
See, look, now we're talking about us and not talking about you. Oh,
no, that's fine.
Like, listen, that's what we do. We don't like being interviewed. We like to just hang out and talk.
Yeah. I think the first show was for us interviewing you.
What's that, Joe?
You got to mention this before time runs out.
Got to mention what?
This is a big deal. Hold on, you'll see. Right there.
Yes.
We still got time, but yeah, we want to hear about this. But guy, what got you guys going to put that together?
Insanity.
Well, you fit right in with us.
In the right
place. We're always doing some type of helping.
We're the Paranormal Community Charity Association.
Yeah, we.
Jeez. Well, with COVID and everybody's a wreck, nobody's done any traveling, and we get bored. And, oh, let's do that. We all have these good-hearted, good Samaritan ideas, and then we pass them to the team, and then it's a go. So we've adopted the garden at the Westland Historical Village. Yeah. So we run the herb garden. So that's a lot of work. And then we pick up the highway.
We adopted the highway
because it runs. And the highway we adopted is Michigan Avenue, which runs right across in front of Eloise
Insane Asylum
or Psychiatric Hospital. And so we have our team,
our highway right picked up
by Phenomena Paranormal right in front of the spooky place. So we were thinking. And. And then I guess that didn't take up enough of our time.
Witchy Women of Westland.
Yep, we became dancers this year.
Is that right? Dancers?
Yep.
Yep, we learned the witch dance, and now we've been doing that for things.
Yep, so we did the witch dance, and we brought that to the museum and got other women to participate. Next thing you know, we're at every community event doing our witch dance with the brooms, all dressed in black, the whole month of October. It's on video everywhere.
YouTube.
But we got thank yous from community centers, and they want us back next year, and it's a thing now. That ended. Well, what else are we going to do?
Yeah.
Well, Christmas is coming. I mean, we did plan this before we started dancing, but because we've been working on this, what, 6 to 8 months?
About 8 months, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And it's going to be a fun event. We got a bunch of paranormal teams and people coming and.
Yeah.
And.
A lot of teams are coming. Everybody's going
to meet and mingle, have dinner, full open bar, of course, you know. We're phenomenal. Yeah,
you know? We have Ghost Buzz, you know, our show Ghost Buzz,
which is
an adult show. So, so
got to have that bar.
Bar raffles, entertainment, a surprise guest. We'll tell you about it after.
Yeah, find out in about a week and a half.
And it's fun, and it started because the Samaritas is the homeless shelter that shelters on the property. Of Eloise, which was owned by Wayne County.
Oh.
And the guy who bought Eloise told the county, just leave the shelter there. It's okay.
Yeah.
And they're one of the very few shelters in Michigan that's a true family shelter. Because a lot of these shell homeless places will take women and children. The dad's got to be walking the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This,
the father can stay with the family.
Yeah.
So we adopted them for Christmas, and we don't know if we're shopping for them, donating it to them. We're still waiting on the list of what on the wish list. So and how much we raise. So this was our first event. Like we said, we sold tables and then we sold individual seats. And
yeah.
We got a good turnout, but it started with there's so many paranormal people here in Southeast Michigan. And I'm sick of seeing people in winter hats and hoodies. Like, let's get together. Everybody talks unity and stuff. Well, let's get
together. Something nice and do something.
And let's take off the logos and the put the meters down and hang out and raise money. And that's so we invited all the ghost people first. And then towards the end, we opened it up. And when we told people word of mouth that they could party with paranormal investigators night. Yep, that ticket sales.
It opened up. That
we want a table, not just a chair. We need a whole table. So it's going to be a good one. We got so many donations.
Oh, my God. So many yes.
Baskets from other paranormal people.
That's been great. Including you guys. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and Mark, we appreciate
After the show, hang out. I'll bring some of my stuff in here and try to get it to where you can see it. And then you can can tell me what you think about some of it, which ones you like the best.
So. Yeah. Oh, because we are crafters, too. She has House Bewitched, and my craft is heebie-jeebies, and we do all the haunted yard sales. Or the haunted garage sales and yard sales at Halloween time.
That's pretty
cool. Those are big around here. There's Motor City Haunted Yard Garage Sale and Hearse Fest. And then we actually got Westland Historic Village to start there. So they had their second annual last year, this past Halloween.
Yeah.
Where it's just crafters and merchandisers that it's just strictly Halloween stuff. So
and it raised money for the sort of village park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. We're always doing the charities. Kind hearted.
Well, anyway, yeah. Yeah. It's nice to be able to make connections like that because it helps out.
Yes.
Yeah, and being we can't get any evidence actually on video, it happens before me. They're doing something. So, and God forbid we review any evidence and make a video because we don't have that skill or the time.
Yeah, I know.
I said we could go back in the 3 years and we have stuff. We just have to now go back and find it all.
Oh yeah, we've got a lot of stuff too that we're still trying to put a bunch of stuff together.
Yeah,
but
especially we're not for our local one.
I guess we're not. We don't have stars in our eyes, so we do it for us and the science of it. And
yeah,
and I want to know what's out there. You know?
Yeah, a lot of. That's what a lot of it is. It's just you just want to know what is there, you know.
Yeah. Well, we weren't Hollywood enough, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. Someone still has a grudge.
No grudge.
So how's your guys' documentary coming along?
It's not. We're still kind of working on it and a little stuck.
Oh, we did Eloise too, November 12th.
We just did Eloise.
We investigated our hometown girl again.
Yeah.
November 12th. And I drug my cousin in as a newbie. She's kind of has the spider senses. And so I wasn't with the rest of the team, but me and Shannon just had the K2 meter and a recorder and a video, which we have to review that.
Yeah, I haven't reviewed anything from that yet.
Now, Eloise, because we went in wanting to know. So Eloise, as you know, it's still a building that needs a lot of work. Millions of dollars are going into this facility. So they decided to do a haunted traction on basement and first floor. And we actually had protesters out here.
Not the people that didn't haunted like it. House.
They didn't like it. They
Are
said
you serious?
They were poking fun at the insane people, you know?
Yeah, because people had family that were there as patients. Because don't forget, this was open till the 90s.
Oh yeah.
But if you're going to open a haunted house at an asylum, you're going to go with the asylum theme, right?
Yeah, but But at the same time, if it closed down that you know, just back in the 90s and stuff like that, then you know, bringing it back out into the news front and bringing attention to it is going to open some old wounds for some of those people.
Yeah,
you know, right. Well, yeah. So I kind of understood it. There was even some in the paranormal field because that's like our baby. Everybody loves Eloise. And people have gotten familiar with certain spirits they connect with. And how do they feel? But when you flip the coin and it is either bring this back or it gets bulldozed, haunted attractions bring the dollar. You know what I mean? And this guy's got to have revenue to keep it going.
Yep.
So, so I always connect with a girl named Sophie there, and unbeknownst to me, two other teams, when they heard I talked to a girl named Sophie, they go, "Oh, it's Sophia." And I said, "Well, maybe to you, it's Sophia, but to me, it's Sophie." So everybody gets something different, and it's just funny how when you know, even that will start a little headbutting because, oh yeah, that's a, I got, that was a demon. And I'm like, she's not a demon. She's just like a 18, 16, 20 year old
darkness
girl.
Out of Eloise.
I don't get darkness.
I have gotten stuck. Yes.
I'll have to, we will have to arrange to come up and do an investigation with you guys there.
Oh, and I'll
be able to tell you if there's
not all demons and
I will be able to tell you if there's demons or not, because I've actually in my past I've actually encountered and dealt with demons.
Well, and
so it's kind of weird whenever you wake up out of a dead sleep and you got one standing on your ceiling right above you.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that at all, Mark. I would run.
Well, no. It was the girl that I was dating at the time. She was an actual witch, and she was a Hispanic girl, and she played with dark magics, and I woke up out of a dead sleep and laying there, and I'm laying flat on my back. And of course, wake up, and there's a demon standing on my ceiling directly above me.
Creeper. That's what they call him at Eloise, the creeper.
He's so, people say creeper.
I could tell you, if there's anything like that there.
But, and I'm not saying maybe they experienced something else, or maybe there's something there that is going by. But the Sophie I know, not Sophia. Because they said they have evidence that's going to come out later, and so they didn't talk anymore past that. But I ended up connecting with her in the fourth floor apartments, which she's never up there. And I have just a question and answer series where light up if it's yes, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
me too. Yeah.
And there's pretty big windowsills, like you could sit in them, look out over the landscape, have a nice peaceful sit in your window. And that this girl said that's what she did. Like, because through a series of questions, this was not the girl's room, which these front apartments were like for staff. So I think she was a young girl who befriended a staff member, and she could go in there and relax and get some peace and look out. It said she liked the lights.
It's a good possibility. Blah, blah, blah.
And I felt very good, and it was fun, but you can see, and we filmed it. We haven't reviewed it. Maybe we could put something together with that. But that I found it very interesting, and I got a little even more info from her. So,
no, that's good.
We went with a couple of other teams from Chicago. They came up to do Eloise and invited us along. Yeah,
Blood Moon Paranormal and KCG or something Sorry, other team.
Blood Moon, I know. But no, it was fun. It's a good time. It always is.
Yeah, Eloise is good. And the staff there was really nice.
Yeah.
Very helpful and would let you just go. You just had to follow very few rules. And basically don't fuck with their $1 million haunted house in the lower two floors.
The first ones to, I was excited about that. We were the first ones since the haunted house. It ended the weekend before we went. So we were the first ones to investigate after the haunted house had, you know, was done and over with. So I was curious to see if it picked up any more activity or lessened it or, you know, anything like that.
We would ask on the spirit box sessions, did you like the haunted house that was here? Do you not like it? You know, trying to get feedback, but I'd have to review it. I don't remember the outcomes of that. But I did find my spirit two floors above it, which so she wasn't down where all that was going on anymore because she was usually on the lower floor. So, which I say, even if the spirits are there, they're not shackled to the spot you normally see them in. You know, they can travel around.
So they're more of an intelligent haunt than a residual.
I think some are. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've been touched there. Several people get touched and grabbed, and
yeah, Whitney got touched a couple times this time.
Yeah. So. They like to play with your hair on the fifth floor.
And nothing vicious that I've heard of.
No.
So nobody trying to hurt anyone there or anything like that?
Or pinch your butt. They like the redheads.
Yeah. Whitney's always getting her ass grabbed by the paranormal.
All right.
Nobody's probably behind her.
Probably some dirty old man.
Yeah.
There's a good possibility. Some dirty old man that was there.
Well, the rumor is they do like on the fifth floor, they like redheads. I guess a lot of redheads get.
They're the ones that, complain that they get their touched.
Yep.
I've been touched on the face there.
See, and I've had my hair like someone goes up and does that. And then I turn around, no one's there. And I'm like, okay. So. But yeah, it's a very interesting place. So we still have to review all our stuff. That's fresh. I don't know why. I just have a sisterly connection with Sophie.
Yeah.
Never know. Maybe she's a lost relative of some sort.
No.
I've actually heard stories of that where people.
My family hasn't been here long enough.
Are you sure?
We came from Poland.
I won't say no.
So have you guys done any research into the property itself and seen what was there prior? Because I know that Michigan is one of the states and one of the territories where there was a lot of Indian activity as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just like here in Wisconsin. So
yeah,
I was just kind of wondering if maybe you did any or tried to do any of the like historical research of the property, of the land itself.
So much Eloise.
Eloise has been established since the late 1800s. And
outlaw paranormal.
There is Tonquish, the Indian. I don't know if Tonquish was his name. There is, we do have, it's Westland and it's filled with people who don't respect history and the past. Someone stole the grave marker to our Indian. He is a very famous Indian that in the city put a grave marker on and someone stole it. So,
well,
that,
and I would bet that person's life is hell right now.
Well,
it should be.
Right. So yeah, there was Indian activity a lot around here, a lot. Plus it's Michigan Avenue goes from Detroit, downtown Detroit, all the way west to, I don't know,
to the whole Chicago. Other side, yeah.
Michigan Avenue, but yeah. So that, I mean, settlers and stuff, it was a dirt road then, but it was the main thoroughfare. Like right. From Rochester to Eloise would have been a 2.5 day horse and buggy ride.
From where to Eloise?
To Rochester.
From Eloise to Rochester.
It was a day just to get downtown Detroit.
Right. That's why it would have been a 2.5. Because yeah, I think well, they yeah, said in that book, Annie's Ghost, which is a good book. I recommend it. Annie's Ghost.
It sure is a new book coming out. Royal Oak
was 2 day.
About Eloise right now.
Oh, yeah. There's a woman. And I've actually talked with her and stuff. Met her when she was getting stories. Cassandra St. Croix.
Yeah.
Released a book about Eloise again. I haven't read it yet, but
cool.
She's one of the people coming to our charity event. Yeah, the authors will be there. So be interesting to talk with her, mingle.
Yeah.
I have a book. Have her autograph.
Yeah. Have her autograph some books.
Yeah, yeah. Could be one of the raffles, you never know.
Exactly.
Yeah, we weren't telling people what the raffle items were. We said, if you want to know what they are, come see.
Yeah, we put who was donating, advertised the donator that they gave a lovely raffle item. So we were trying to create intrigue. Well, yeah. I want to win whatever they got.
Oh, I know. I don't know how many tickets I got going into all these.
Oh, yeah, because we get to buy tickets and play, too. We might not get the door prize, but we get to play with the raffles.
We're not going to go in on the door prize.
I said, I'm probably buying $100 in damn tickets.
Yeah. We got some nice stuff.
It's going to be a party. I wish you guys could come.
We could too, but I just started this new job.
It's just a day journey, Mark.
Oh, whatever. No, I started this new job and it's been a lot. They've sent me out to California already.
Mm.
I've only been there a little over 2 months. They've already sent me to California to help with a run out there. And then they sent me down to then they went and sent me to Indiana and I did a whole week there.
Wow.
I've been wanting to go back to Michigan for a long time. If we travel,
collaborate and do something together.
Well, if we travel,
we got nothing planned yet.
We got to really be prepared to travel that type of distance.
Have you guys done the Mansfield, Ohio penitentiary yet?
No.
Are you?
We haven't got that far out of Wisconsin. I mean, going over to Iowa with Dale, that was our first real one.
In Iowa. We did the Buddy Holly crash site.
Oh, nice.
And then Farrar School.
All in the same day. Now the Buddy Holly crash site's kind of strange too. I have two voice recorders, had both of them going. One of them didn't work very well. It didn't record. The other one recorded, but here's the weird part. As you're listening to the recording, you can distinctly hear a prop engine plane in the background.
Wow.
Mm. Not one of us remembers hearing or seeing an airplane during our time there.
Wow.
We did.
It's kind of weird.
We did a plane crash. Yeah, one time.
That's on YouTube. That's actually on YouTube.
Yeah, it is on YouTube.
Flight 255.
Yeah.
Where was this one at?
This happened in Detroit.
Yeah.
In the
1987 in Detroit.
It was, it crashed during takeoff at Metro Airport.
Wow.
It was,
killed everybody except for a 4-year-old little girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who they believe was protected by her parents because they had to remove a body off her.
Yeah.
And she was alive and they took care of her. And there's reports out there on her. They did a memorial and you can still see on one of the viaducts because the plane started to come down and then it veered and it clipped the Avis rental car building. And I think he was looking like, where the hell is he going to land? Because he just took out, but it's all residential. And he aimed for the Merriman Road. And he started going down Merriman Road like a freaking bullet because the engines were still full thrust. And he got under the viaduct and the wings ripped off and the explosion. And
killed even a few people on the expressway there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huge.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
And that happened when?
This was in 87,
I think.
87.
Wow.
Go to YouTube, look up Phenomena, watch it. There's two or three series.
Yeah.
Because we grew up with the guy who was in the recovery of everything.
Yeah, so he went along with us and described everything where, you know,
he got really emotional. Yeah. He said he hasn't been back since the last day of cleanup. And when he walked up, I said, what's the first thing they hit you? He goes, I can smell it. I smell the fuel still.
Yeah.
So,
wow. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
But Buddy Holly would be interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to go there. It was kind of surreal to be in that spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can talk about it, think about it.
But then to actually be there.
Well, that's like Gettysburg, yeah.
You know,
we all got so emotional when we went to Gettysburg, you know. You hear about it, you read about it, you learn it in school, you know. But once you go there, it was totally.
Well, see, I tell everybody, you can take away my TV, but you can't take away my music.
Yeah.
Right.
I got to have music. And, you know, that song by Don McLean, The Day the
American
music,
Pie.
American Pie, you know. And then you go to the actual spot where The Day the Music died. It is very surreal.
Yeah.
You know, because we lost 3 greats way too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just
they were just starting out.
I mean, Ricky Valance was just starting to get popular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you had the big popper. You know, I mean, everybody to this day, you still hear Chantilly Lace once in a while at weddings.
Pretty face and a ponytail hanging down, and you wiggle and you walk and you giggle and you talk. Ooh, baby, that's a lot. We used to sing that as kids. We did a whole dance. You remember that?
Yeah.
That's how long we've been hanging out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not a lot of people, I guess. You know, unless you're our age or older, would, you know, realize what influence they really had on music.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They had quite a bit of an influence.
All three of them did.
Well, yeah, that said they. I didn't say one specific person. But if you had to really think about it, I think Buddy Holly had the most influence of all of them, because he was involved in the music scene a lot longer.
Well, yeah.
Well, of course, the Big Bopper, too.
On that tour, he was also the most famous.
Yeah, he was the most famous one on the tour as well.
On that, what was it called? Quincy something. But anyway, they've made a documentary on all three of them since then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of music and the paranormal, we had a guest come to Eloise over the summer. My favorite. Alice Cooper came to Eloise. Because Eloise named a street after him called Cooper Court.
Alice Cooper Court.
Wow. Alice Cooper Court.
Nice.
That is now the main road going through Eloise.
Oh, I got to find that.
So he didn't do a performance, but he came out and talked. They had a cover band who was awesome. called Nightmare.
Yeah.
And they did fabulous Cooper music, all the good old stuff.
Now you got Joe on a mission over here.
The what?
You put Joe on a mission.
Yeah. That's all right.
The guy we were talking about that did that Halloween investigation with us, Christopher Kai House. He's been we've been doing stuff with him lately, and Joe's got a picture of him that a recent one.
Awesome. They look like school photos with that background.
Well, Alice Cooper was in Milwaukee for some event that Chris was at this past weekend.
Yep. You mean Milwaukee?
Yeah. Wayne's World. We're not worthy.
Right.
Yeah, that's the first thing I would have said if I would have saw him, though. You know, just to,
yeah. We're not worthy.
Yeah, I've met him once, got his autograph. I got close to him again. I've seen him so many times.
It's her man.
That's my man. And it's funny because we know the one of the head honchos over at Eloise. And I'm like, so Alice Cooper's coming, huh? You didn't tell me. I had to find out through the news which doors are coming in. Yeah. Does he need someone to bring coffee? Because I'm an Eloise employee that day. I'm like, where, by the way, which tunnel door is closest to where Alice Cooper is going to be. She's like, the tunnels have been filled in. And I'm like, so you think.
See, that's one guy. If he would have ever, when I drove cab, if he would have ever gotten in my cab, I wouldn't have been able to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
I would have had to ask all kinds of questions,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I would have had to ask for his autograph. I mean, I grew up on his music.
Me
more
too.
More than some of the other guys that I had in my cab, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I had two famous guys in my cab once, and I had no clue who they were the whole time.
Right.
Until I dropped them off. And there's their tour bus painted with their pictures on it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, so did you guys play any of, Buddy Holly music or anything while you were investigating?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Do that stuff too. We'll
They played Buddy Holly and Richie Valiant and the Big Bopper.
Yeah, they played
one from each one.
No, I think Mikey put together like a
no. Mikey went to YouTube. No, Mikey went to YouTube and he picked one song from each one, and he played it.
And
instead of playing a snippet of it so you wouldn't get in trouble for posting it, he played the whole damn song.
No, the key is just make sure you say, I do not own the rights to this song.
Well,
we've learned that.
I haven't even done anything with the Buddy Holly footage yet. I'm still trying to figure out how to do that because I've had a couple of ideas to make it kind of a tribute thing. But I don't want to get, you know, the, I mean, the worst thing they're going to do is basically flag it so that it can't be used for monetary use.
Yeah.
You know? So did you get responses?
Well, get what?
Did you get any good responses?
They were asking, like, who's singing this song? And you'd get, like, a one-word response, like Richie or Bopper, you know, cool. Or Buddy.
Awesome.
So nice. It was very interesting.
Hmm.
But I was just shocked at, we were out there. It was, what was that? That was a Saturday afternoon. It was kind of hot.
It was warm. Windy. It was in July.
Yeah. And I just couldn't believe, you know, and it was a gravel road that you have to drive down to get to this spot, this cornfield. And
all gravels.
How many people were coming and going the whole time we were there?
You actually, oh yeah, there was people coming and going like crazy.
Videos, you'll actually see people coming and going as we're sitting there investigating with all our equipment set up. Mm-hmm. You know, they're coming, taking their pictures and snapshots, and
mm-hmm.
You
know,
mm-hmm.
and then they're walking back all the way up that distance, all the way back up to their cars on the gravel road.
Yeah.
But I was just shocked. You know, it was such a beautiful day out. They decided to visit this site instead of, you know, being at the beach or something.
Or going having a picnic.
Yeah.
I think the most intriguing, honestly, think the most intriguing part, though, of being there investigating this crash site was the fact that I did capture the sound of a prop airplane on my EVP. Right. And I don't. And there isn't one of us that was there that they even recalls seeing one or even hearing one. So I thought it was kind of interesting.
Very much so.
it's like I've heard before, and I kind of adopted the saying, coincidence takes a hell of a lot of planning.
Right.
Yeah, there is no such thing as coincidence. Yeah. It you know, there's everything happens for a reason.
Mhm. Sure. Exactly.
So. I believe that too. Celestine prophecy.
Everything happens for a reason, and it all depends on the choices you make and which road.
Kind of, yeah. Your choices determine your path.
Your destiny.
Damn, now I'm starting to sound like a proverb.
See, your destiny's already planned out for you. It's just how you get there. It's going to be your choice.
Joe says your destiny is already planned out. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think eventually, somehow, along the way, you're going to be destined, no matter what choice you make. You make this choice to do this. Well, that path is going to still lead you to.
I don't know about that. I think no. I saved a lot of heartache if I'd have listened to the prophecy and didn't go my own way.
Well, see, that's where free will comes in.
Right. And I don't make good choices.
No. Then you got to learn from those mistakes.
Right. Which now takes me to this destination.
Yeah.
Well.
You know, where's it?
Well, I think there's a reason why we're so chummy, because we're going to get together and collab something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Anything's possible.
No, well, you want to come to Michigan? We're here.
I was already up in Michigan. What the hell?
Right. Didn't even drive.
Yeah, you were there for work. I need to go there for personal reasons.
You have a lot of awesome things to investigate.
There's so many things here.
Oh, this has nothing to do with investigating.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, though.
We got the Motown Museum.
My reasons has nothing to do with investigating or tourism.
No. What do you want to do?
Is it because it's legal?
Yes. Yes.
And it's that is deeper than Illinois, from what I hear.
Oh, and I did. Oh, I did.
Wait. We have a recall. Some of the pot's tainted. There's a recall. Yeah, you got to bring it back.
I saw that. I did. I did see that. But the other thing is,
it's not organic. There's pesticides in it.
I really hate to say this, but you know, I haven't been to Michigan since I was a wee little lad. But I still think I feel safer going to Michigan.
He was a stain in his daddy's underwear. Illinois,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Illinois so many times in my lifetime, both personally and just when I was driving cab, and I didn't like it at all at any given point.
Now, I
never felt safe going there.
I watched, it could be this, Joe. I just watched one of them damn documentaries on Prime. I'm just sucked into all of them. And because I don't watch TV and I put something on the background, then I just start watching it. But it was talking about which part of Illinois, Southern Illinois? It was was it 411 hunting or missing 411? There's all these correlations of people just missing. Boop.
John's watched that. Yeah.
Just disappearing.
Missing.
Yeah. And there's like groups of them, and they're all over. Michigan has one.
It's about
somebody's studying all these.
A lot of, and yeah, they're like hunters and stuff going on.
Hunters, experienced outdoorsmen.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw
they're just gone. Like that. And then their bodies show up days later, and they've already trampled through that spot how many times? And all of the autopsy reports are kind of like, I don't know why they died. Like, I'm going to assume it was hypothermia, but the body's not showing any frostbite. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Just really, it's a pretty, it's interesting.
I saw UFOs. Something like that. Recently,
mm-hmm.
like the preview, like coming up. You know,
it's on Prime now.
UFOs.
Well, I've got Prime, so
abductions. Yeah,
I think it's 411 hunting or hunting for. I don't know. You'll find it if you're looking for it.
Yeah.
I find a lot of weird shit on Prime. A lot of old shit.
I know.
Years too.
So
I got burnt out on movies and stuff a long time ago, though.
Right.
I'm actually thinking uh-huh. here. If we wind up going up there to catch up with you two or you guys, I'm gonna have to brush up on my drinking.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
train you.
You don't want him drinking.
Like riding a bike.
You don't want him
just
drinking.
Don't throw up on me. God, I hate when people do that.
No, I haven't been like sloshed in a long time.
I think the last time I actually saw you have one too many was at the party barn a few years.
Yeah, I got a picture. I got a selfie of that day.
You got a selfie from then?
I got a selfie from that day.
Yeah, you know, it's short notice, guys, but if you want a quick crash course, just come to the Mix and Mingle. It's open bar. You don't even have to pay for it.
Yeah. I don't drink no more.
Joe doesn't drink.
Last time, I grew up around a lot of alcohol.
He's a designated driver.
And I don't drink. And you know, me and alcohol, we don't mix too well. I don't like the taste of beer. My graduation party, when I graduated from high school in 1985, the one thing I remember, I was up there in my bedroom. My dad's like pulling on my arm. Come on, come back downstairs. Drink like a man. Well, you know, that whole day, you know, I started out. My graduation party, we started out, well, we picked up the keg of beer. My stepfather and I picked up the keg of beer. We picked up, I think it was, we picked up my cousin Jeff. We smoked a joint. Then we came back, dropped off the keg, tapped it. We had to test it too to make sure it was good beer.
Right.
So put it on ice. And then we had to go out and pick somebody else up. So my stepfather and I went back out, picked somebody else up. The person we picked up decided to share a joint, smoked that, got back to the house. And then another cousin of mine pulled up, and they had a bottle of, I think it was Cold Duck. So we had to crack that open. Then, I forgot to mention, when this all started, I hadn't eaten a thing yet.
Right.
So this started before noon. So I hadn't eaten all day. Empty stomach. Okay. So then I had another cousin that came up. Bottle of peppermint schnapps, had to open that, drink that. Then there was a bottle of champagne at some point, had to open that, crack that.
Too much mixing.
And then we drank more beer, smoking a few more joints, and I got the munchies. So it wasn't eating something like the barbecue that was there. I had to eat my favorite treats that my aunt made me, which were like a peanut butter, chocolate-covered peanut butter toffee bar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That really absorbs the alcohol.
So I ate about a half a dozen of those, and the next thing you know, I was upstairs praying to the porcelain god.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you took our class, we would remedy all of that and teach you.
Are you ready? You ready for the picture?
Yes.
Ready?
Ready.
Yeah, I remember that. I got that. Oh, you fit right in.
I
love it.
Was sloshed.
Look how happy you are.
Yeah.
You see my antennas?
I do see them. They're glowing with joy.
You see what the shirt says that I was wearing?
I can't. My eyes on. I can't see the shirt.
It's beer.
Beer is good.
Beer is good.
Is good. Beer is good.
Yep, beer is good.
Green antennas and a big smile.
That's great.
I love it. We got a couple.
Wait till you see my mix and mingle pictures.
Yeah. I don't know.
Back then, though, when we were at that party barn, I had to get poured into the car.
Yeah, because you were drinking tequila. I was drinking whiskey. I was drinking
Jose Cuervo. He was a good friend of mine back then.
Yep.
I can do the whiskey. The tequila? No. Oh.
No, I
can actually drink that.
I can't do aftershock.
I won't be praying to the porcelain god if I stick to tequila.
I got lost in my own bathroom.
I drink, actually, it's not really whiskey. It's Kentucky bourbon.
Yeah.
I like the Kentucky bourbon.
I like whiskey most of all.
Yeah.
Then I'll do bourbon or tequila.
You got that
I don't
wrong.
Do white liquors like rum and vodka. I'm not a big rum and vodka.
I like rum. I'm not.
What was that, Joe?
An asshole at alcohol, not bounce. Or wait, maybe she means you want to turn into a bouncer.
No.
Well, you did want to start a fight that day.
Out
of the party barn.
No. I didn't want to start a fight. I was actually defending you, you jerk. You
didn't have to defend me. The other guy was trying to defend me from you.
Whatever.
It's true, though. It's true.
All right, now you're sounding like that one group phenomenon.
Here's what happened. My wife's family owned this barn and they turned it into a party barn. And so they had big family gatherings there. And we were there for one of the family reunions. And Mark got invited along and so on and so forth, but some of these people didn't know Mark yet, right? Mark comes up, did what he always did when he saw me, started his normal bullshit, you know, of harassing me, of, you know, like saying slut or something, calling me some name. Well, my buddy Jeff, who happens to be like real close to this family that I'm married into, decides that he was going to pick a fight with Mark because Mark started picking on me. And Mark wasn't going to back down, and I had to get in between him and say, look, you know, Mark's harmless, you know, Jeff's harmless, you know, these, you know, but they're too much alike that they were about ready to butt heads.
Yeah.
I would have won.
Both of them thought that the other one was fucking with me.
I was in a place where nobody was
going to fuck with me. That's just it. Yeah.
I wasn't worried. I would have won.
You're still bringing it on. Back down. Let it go.
But it was just funny. It was one of those funny moments.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's so many things I want to do. Like with Beth and Barry, that collective, and they do a camp out. Like, I want to go to that.
It'd be fun.
So I think we should
camp out
over the hour.
Yeah.
Then we
are you kicking us off now?
You want. You
can no, hang, you want. Hang out for a little bit. Joe's going to finish it up. I'm going to excuse myself and go use the restroom.
I figured it.
All right.
So we're not going to be back Friday, but we will be back next Tuesday. We're going to be back with Miranda Young and Dr. Christy Sumner will be with us, and they'll be talking about the Scott County Jail.
Ooh.
And there are new adventures with that.
Nice.
You guys got anything coming up you want to talk about?
Mix and mingle for Kris Kringle. December 4th. It should be good.
Next year.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes. Everybody, we'll make plans here. Well, you know, we're kind of like everybody's sister, right? We just, if you meet us, we're settling in and we're at home. So everybody is
we're like a
so
flea on a dog.
Right. We just, you know.
Like to get rid of?
And everybody's just starting to talk on Facebook. It's getting closer and you can almost feel the anticipation. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, it's going to be the party of the year and blah blah blah, and it's supposed mm-hmm. I already looked at Janet and said, well, this doesn't have to be a thing we do every year. But then I go, well, next year. No, stop.
Those paranormal conference things like this, because you're calling this a paranormal Christmas party, I noticed, which is kind of unique in and of itself. Right. But when you go to these paranormal conferences, the people are really cool to hang out with. We actually physically went to the one this year that takes place in Milwaukee every year. We're going we're going to be broadcasting our show live from there next year.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Well, you'll have to message us when it is. Maybe we can get tickets. We always do the...
Actually, there's no tickets to this. Well, you just register to get the tickets because the Milwaukee Paranormal Conference is a free event.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, we do a Paracon at the Old Mill in Dundee, Michigan, but it's a fundraiser for the mill.
Right.
But they have a lot of good speakers there.
Yeah.
They got sponsors for this, and they're deciding they made it free this year, and they're going to continue to make it free.
Good.
Nice.
So they have
dates. We got to start planning a calendar. We want to do all this stuff, but we don't set anything in stone and start turning the wheels. And next thing you know, oh, that thing we wanted to do, it's a week away. Oh, well, I got to work and I got to, you know, we have to Yeah. We need some upfront dates to start doing some things.
Yeah. We got to start doing that this next year around. Well, COVID, I think, messed everybody up.
Oh, it did.
Threw everybody for a loop.
Yeah, it did.
It threw everybody's schedule and internal clocks and everything off, because you had to sit there and kind of, if you didn't work or weren't an essential employee or something like that, you were basically on lockdown in your own home, hibernating all year round.
Yeah.
You know, so now you got to suffer from hibernation sickness and try to get through it.
Yeah, Michigan's pretty much back to normal, but we do have the highest numbers right now.
Yeah.
So, everybody stay safe. Until next time, remember, anything's possible. And thank you for coming, ladies.
Always.
Yes, thanks for joining us.
Always welcome to come back.
Thank you. I'll have to have you on our show again soon.
Thanks, everybody watching.
And we